there are those times in our lives, and thank God for them, when we're on the mountaintop, amen? When things are going well, things are going great, the future looks bright, you're hearing from God, he's answering your prayers, you feel his presence. Those that you know and love are cheering you on. Isn't that a great time of life? Amen. Don't we like it when those times come? You're not wishing for the bad times, are you? There are those times, there are those seasons in our life, and it is beautiful. We thank God for them. But there are also those times, and some of you all may be experiencing or just coming out of one of those times when things are not going so well. You're not getting your prayers answered as quickly as you'd like, and you maybe aren't hearing from God, and you're waiting to hear, and he's taking longer than you would want, and you don't feel his presence, and you're not being cheered on, and your enemy seems to have the upper hand. Amen?
Amen.
There are those times. Anybody had those times? Those are difficult times. You got to know what to do. What do you do in those times? Amen? And it would be nice if we were like Paul and Silas in the jail in Philippi, singing and praising and praying our way up to the midnight hour. But sometimes that's not the way it is. Sometimes your troubles can at least appear to get the best of you. Sometimes you can get into a paper bag. You can't seem to fight your way out, and you crying out to God, and he hasn't come yet, or he hasn't answered yet, or he hasn't spoken to you yet. Sometimes things can get that hard. If all you know is about Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail, if that's all you know, if that's all you armed with for this life, that won't be enough. Because all you'll do is see those moments when you don't have what Paul and Silas had, and you'll begin to condemn yourself, and you'll actually lose the battle with the enemy. You need the whole counsel of God, amen?
Amen.
So what do you do? How do you press through those challenging times? Have you had, Mother, some challenging times? You talked about 2018. That's some rough stuff. What do you do? How do you press through? You call into God, he don't answer quickly enough. The people around you don't understand. It's not going your way. What do you do? I'm here to tell you today. You may have heard this before, but I'm here to tell you today. This needs to be one of the arrows in your quiver. Sometimes, somebody say sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes you just have to encourage yourself. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
Sometimes you just got to have some self-talk. When God is not answering you, you need to hear your own voice talking about God. But it's not that simple either. You can't just talk your way out of it, just talking about God. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just have to say self. Let me hear you say self. All right, amen. This is an audience participation message. Self, you got through this last minute. Somebody gonna feel me on this. You can get through the next minute.
Amen.
you ever been so down, you ever had it so hard? Just to get through the next minute. It is a challenge. We've all had those moments. I'm sure we have. We've had some testimonies that just getting through the next minute with the pain that you're feeling, with the burden that you're carrying, with the hope that you're losing, getting through the next minute. Self, you got through this last minute. You can get through this next minute. Self, you got through the last hour. You can make it through this next hour. Self, you got through the last week, and I know it looks daunting, but you got through, God got you through the last week. He will get you through the next week.
Amen.
Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. So when you're in those moments and you don't know what to do, now you know at least one more thing that you got to know to do. You got to talk to yourself, amen? You got to encourage yourself. You got to not just focus on the mountain that you're climbing, but you've got to celebrate each and every step, positive step that you make. Because you could curse the rest of the journey up the mountain. You could curse the mountain. You could curse the reason that God let you have the mountain. But if you celebrate each and every step, then you got something to encourage yourself with. Understand that while you're worried about the future, you got so much past to encourage you. So much past to encourage you. Most of our worry, most of our stress and strain is about something that might happen. Not even something that's happening. Something that you believe is going to happen. Things aren't going your way. Got to encourage yourself. Amen?
Amen.
This morning, we're going to learn about this from, guess what? David again. We're going to learn from David. Deacon Melvin came up to me after service last week. He said, man, Pastor, that was great. That was like a Bible study last week. Last week, we learned about David when he was on the mountaintop, when he was in the power position. He was king and sovereign and reigning over everything, and he abused that power. He abused his power with Bathsheba. He abused his power with Uriah. He was the power position guy. Today, we're going to learn about encouraging yourself from David before he got to that power position. We're going to learn about encouraging yourself from David when he was running for his life. He was running from Saul when he was fighting for his life every single day. He was not in the power position. He was in exile, away from his people, and away, in his case, and in those days, away from his God. We are living in the New Testament. We are under the New Covenant. We have the Holy Ghost. He didn't have that manifestation yet. When he was away from Jerusalem, away from the tent, the tabernacle, in his mind, his experience, he was away from God. We can carry him everywhere we go. We could talk to him directly. He didn't have it like that. So we're going to learn from David in exile. And here's what I want you to know. Now, we learned some tough stuff about David. We learned about how he abused his power, right? But he was a man after God's own heart. And we know by breaking it down what that really means. It doesn't mean he was perfect. It means this is the man that I will choose. I will choose this king. Y'all just had to have a king last time. So I said, all right, fine. Be careful what you wish for. I'm giving you Saul. But now I'm going to choose this guy. And here's the deal. Here's the beautiful thing. While we learned the mistakes that David made last week, here's the beautiful thing about David. He's in exile, right? All this terrible stuff is going on. He's fighting for his life. He's running from Saul. It's terrible. He's trying to figure out why this guy hates me. The thing that David missed the most while he was in exile, the thing that he cried about in his midnight hour, he missed God. Wouldn't that be a great testimony if that was ours? You know it wouldn't be. He missed God. He missed the presence of his God. He missed the opportunity to freely worship his God. Amen?
Amen.
And so he's in exile, right? He's nowhere near, in his mind, the way he, his manifestation, where his God is there in Jerusalem, in Judah. And so we're going to learn from David a little bit about encouraging yourself. Amen?
Amen.
So David wrote Psalm 42. That will be our text. And as he wrote Psalm 42, he is battling with his own thoughts. Anybody ever done that? And he is wrestling with his own feelings. You ever wrestle with your own thoughts, your own feelings. You can be all holy, holified if you want to be. But the truth is, real talk is fear, doubt, worry, confusion, and all that Satan represents. Woo, can almost sometimes get dominion over us. Sometimes your thoughts are not pure. Sometimes your thoughts are not encouraging. Sometimes your thoughts are not optimistic. Sometimes your thoughts are not Godward. Amen. Sometimes your thoughts are not faith-filled. Sometimes you're wrestling like Jacob wrestled with the angel. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes you got to wrestle. And so David in Psalm 42 is wrestling and fighting with his own thoughts, with his own feelings. And so it's a beautiful biblical representation or example to let you know that stuff is real. The challenge, the fight is real. So just in case you think it's just you, and just in case you've been condemned and you're the only one thinking that way and everybody else is on the mountaintop, they got all the faith, they got it going on. Oh, just hang out with David and say, all right, I'm as good as David then. Because David had to wrestle. He had his own midnight hour, and it was lasted a lot longer than an hour. And so he wrote this psalm. And remember what the psalms are. They are songs. And one of the beautiful things about Psalm 42 is that it actually, you may not be able to recognize it in every psalm because it's written for the Hebrew perspective and the Hebrew mind and the Hebrew structure. But this particular psalm is structured like a song in a way we would recognize. It has an introduction. It has a chorus. It has the body of the song, and it wraps up with the chorus again. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Now, what he'd like to do is sing a better song in the presence of his God and dancing and playing those instruments like he played. Amen?
Amen.
But he wrote this psalm. And so in his case, he wasn't doing self-talk. He was doing self-singing. All right? So Psalm 42 is what we're going to read. Amen?
Amen.
He was wrestling with his feelings and his thoughts, but he never forgot who God was. Amen? And we need to do the same. Now, in the first four verses, he paints the picture for us. And this, you might imagine, is the introduction portion of the song. And let's read it together. He says, as a hart, that's a deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Let's pause. So remember, he's painting the picture. Now, when you're going through your struggles, you might be missing a man, you might be missing a woman, you might be missing some money, you might be missing your car that got wrecked and it's in the shop, you might be missing, I don't know what you'd be missing, but he said, like a deer that's thirsty, that's been running and heart been beating real fast, I'm so thirsty, I'm parched, I've got to have water. This is how I feel about needing and wanting and desiring you, oh God. Woo! Verse 2, he says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and... Yes, I'm an exile. What am I missing? People? Money? No, I'm missing. Oh, if I could just get back to Jerusalem. If I could just get back in the presence of my God. This is what I'm missing. Oh, it's beautiful. Verse 3, he says, my tears have been my meat, meaning my food, day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is your God? This is how I'm feeling. Not only am I missing you, my tears are so much that I can describe them as my food. That's all the taste I have in my mouth. And my enemies are saying, yeah, where's your God now? We heard about all these exploits he did. We heard about that Jericho thing some long, long time ago. We heard all the things that he did, right? Where's your God now? Painful. Not only do I need you, but I'm being humiliated. I'm being reminded of the fact that I haven't heard. I'm being reminded of the fact in every way, in my heart and outwardly. I'm being reminded of the fact that you're not here. And I'm feeling this pain, and I know you anointed me as king. And what did I do? Now, it's spiritual, David, first of all. It's spiritual. Saul's going to have his time. Your time is coming. But in the meantime, what do you do? In the meantime, what do we do? David is teaching us here in this psalm, this song, that you got to encourage yourself. But he needs to first paint the picture. Are we now convinced how painful it was? Are we now convinced with clarity what he was hoping for? Now, you can get clear in your own mind what you hope for in your midnight hour. Maybe it's health. Who knows what it is for you? But David was missing God. And he made it really clear, didn't he? I mean, my tears have been my meat, meaning my food, day and night. I've been crying day and night and day and night. Now, some of us have cried like this over a person. If you've been there, I've been there. Okay? So he's talking to God. This is a beautiful conversation so far. And he's finished with the introduction. And now we get into the body of the song. And he starts out with the chorus. This is the chorus. Verse 5 is the chorus. Now, I've described for you clearly, hopefully, how much pain he's in, how hard it is for him, and what he's lacking, what he's missing. Amen? Amen. Are you with me so far?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Now, let's see what he does in this chorus. Let's read it together. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted? Keep reading.
Hope thou in God.
Mm-hmm.
For I shall yet praise him for the help of his heart.
All right. So that's, this is the thing, this is the chorus, which means this is something you're going to say again, right? Which should have within it the kernel of the crux of the point of the song. Okay? So what he says here, this is the chorus. Now, he's told you how much he's missing God and all the pain and the heartache. He's not going to repeat that. But the chorus is something that you will repeat. Hallelujah. So he says, why art thou cast down on my soul? Have you ever done that with yourself? I'm just beaten down, but I'm a Christian. I'm saved. How dare I? How can I be this cast down? How can I be this discouraged? How can I be in this much despair? How, my soul? But it's real, I am. That's where I am. I shouldn't be. I don't want to be. Maybe I don't even have to be, but I am human. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted? Why are you disturbed? He says to himself, what? Hope in God. Meaning wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He's talking to himself. You're going to have to do this sometime. If you haven't walked long enough, you will. You're going to have to say, self, you got to wait on God. Hang on in there. You got through the last minute. Who got you through it? Your soul don't look back. A Christian soul don't look back and wonder how it got over. A Christian soul look back and you better know how you got over. You better know how you got through that minute. You better know how you got through that hour. You better know how you got through that day. You better know who you got through that week. You better know. And guess what? Since you know that, you are armed with self. God got me through the last minute. He'll get me through the next. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. He got me through the last month. He's going to get me through the next. Self, if you're breathing, you got a testimony. If you're breathing, you got a message. If you're breathing, self, let me talk to you. I know how you're feeling. I'm in here with you. Self, hope thou, he's talking to himself now. He ain't talking to God no more. In God. He says, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now, this is where I got to break some stuff down for you. We have beautiful songs that are sung. And they got nice hooks and they're beautiful. This song's called Yet Praise, right? Or Yet Praise Him. And it's based on this particular verse. Because in the contemporary New Testament, translated from the Hebrew and into the Greek and into the Latin and into the German and into the Old English, it sounds like he's saying, I will yet, meaning now, continually praise God. That sounds good. That sounds very Paul and Silas-like. But that's not what he's saying. There's lots of ways that people can try to translate that particular word, but in this particular case, yet it is not the best translation. The best translation for what David means is again. I will again. I have hope that I will again be in the presence of my God where I plan on praising him all day long.
Amen.
I'm far away. My God is distant. His presence is finite. It's not like we have his presence. He's saying, I'm telling myself, I'm going to transport my, I don't know when it's going to happen, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to be with my God again.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. It's beautiful, the whole yet praise songs. And so we are brought basically into the dungeon, into the jail with Paul and Silas, and we're going to praise in the midst of our troubles. But there's times you can't praise in the midst of your troubles. There's times that you can't quite. And what do you do in those times? You need to know, in those times, what do you do? You're just going to have to encourage yourself. Self? Self? You need to wait. You need to be patient. You need to wait on God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Woo! So he says, self, look, I want you to hope in God. I want you to understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for, hoped for, hoped for. Has he convinced you in the first four verses that he hopes for? And the evidence of things not seen. So what you're going to hold on to, self, in those moments? The evidence is right in my hand, in my heart, of the things that I cannot see yet, but I'm going to speak it. I will again get to Jerusalem. Now, if I got that picture in my mind, I might be distressed a minute for what happens tomorrow. But guess what? It's just a stepping stone to my ultimate place. So the next time I got to say self, I'm going to say self. I know weeping may endure for a night, but I will again praise my God. Woo, the word is so good. Oh, Lord have mercy. He tells his inner self, I will praise God, because I know you, what you're feeling. I know what you're going through, but I am going to yet again praise my God and experience the power of his, the saving, the salvation power of his presence. This is what he's saying, literally. This is self-talk. This is what you do when you have nothing else you think you can do. When everything else is running out. She said, take me to the king. You can talk to yourself if you have to. There may not be anybody to take you to the king. You may not be able to get to the king. David couldn't get to his king. And he was not yet the king. And the earthly king was trying to kill him. So guess what? Take me to the king is great, but sometimes that's not an option. What do you do? Self? Can I remind you, self, you're breathing still. Can I remind you, your breathing is not voluntary. God makes it happen for you. Can I remind you, self, that you slept last night and he breathed for you, self? So that means he ain't dead. Hallelujah. Amen. So here in verse 5, you know, David just questions why. You know, why am I going through this, right? Why, soul, are you cast down? I mean, he's really hard on himself. He says, you need to wait on God because it's going to be all right eventually. Amen? And so in verses 6 and 7, still the body of the song, he cries out to God again. Remember, first he's praying. He said, oh, my God, I wish I could get back to my God. Then he turns to himself, and this is the chorus. He says, woo, why am I so down? Why am I so discouraged? It's going to be all right, yourself. Wait on the Lord. You're going to get to him and get to praise him again and experience the power, the wonder of his presence. And he says in verse 6, oh, he's back to God now. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I what?
Remember
thee. Keep going. Read it for me.
From the land of Jordan.
Yes. Yes, here's the point. Sometimes, you know, if you think back on things, sometimes your memories of something that you're missing make you sad, right? Well, but just like I told you, your last minute is the hope you have for the next minute. Your last hour is the hope you have for your next hour. Your last day is the hope you have for the next day, because you know how you got over. Your last week, your last month, your last year is the hope that you have for the coming year. His memories fueled him. He held on to, I know what I once had, and that's the hope I have that I'm going to have it again. Sometimes our memories of what we miss make the pain worse. he's using his memories, his last minute, his last hour, or rather, he's using the time when he was with the Lord and could worship with the saints as encouragement. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We have good times in church, right?
Amen.
And we get hurt by people in church. And we get discouraged and stay out of church. Because all the memories we focus on are the bad ones. He focused on the good ones. And then you can get back to where you really needed to be. It may not be the same church, but if you remember God and not the people, it might lead you back to a place where you can worship God in the fullness of holiness with the people. But if all you see is the people, you're never going back. Hallelujah. Amen. He's going to get back to God's presence. Now, here's the thing. Now, he says, oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. Now, he's acknowledging that he's cast down. He's acknowledging that this is difficult. But then he pivots and he doubles down on it in verse 7. Read it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So understand in verse 6 and 7, it's not that he doesn't know why he's so down. He's not asking why. It's a rhetorical why. He knows it's why am I letting it get to me is the point when I have God as my hope. And he reminds himself of what it was like. And he says, I'm going to get back there. He's talking to himself. He's wrestling to and fro with this thing. And he doubles down in verse 7 where he says, the deep calleth unto the deep. Now, yeah, it sounds all crazy, noise and thy water spout. He's describing a storm. That's all he's doing. Let's just get on past all the fancy word. You have the storm in your life. You have the difficulty in your life. It can feel like a storm where the rain comes down like sheets, like a tsunami is what he's talking about. He's saying, my troubles, God. After he's already beat himself up and said, hey, man, why are you so down? You should be helping in God. Now he's describing the situation again. He's tossing to and fro. He's saying, oh, my God, deep calleth unto deep. He's basically saying there's one problem after another problem, and the next problem is bigger than the previous problem, and I'm just about exhausted and bewildered, and I'm just blown away. He's saying, I am overwhelmed, God. The next problem is tougher than the previous problem. You ever been there? Now, he just encouraged himself and said, hey, you got a man. Think about it. You're going to get there. Woo, but, man, this is hard. Man, this is tough. God, this was harder than the thing yesterday. This is real talk now. Paul and Silas, they prayed and they sang and everything shook, and that was great. But sometimes you got to encourage yourself, which means you're going to be wrestling with your flesh, which means you're going to be wrestling with your thoughts. You're going to be wrestling with your feelings about real events in your life. They're not fake. The source might be spiritual. But all what you're experiencing is real in the natural. If you feel pain, God gave you the nerve endings to feel the physical pain. If you feel emotional pain, he gave you the limbic system in your brain in order to feel emotions. He gave you the ability to have eros for your loved one, for your wife, and for your husband. He gave you the ability to have phileo love for your fellow man. He gave you the ability. And because we have the Holy Ghost, we can have agape love. Can't have it without it. Can't have it without it. Hallelujah. Woo, he's good. He is good. He is good all day long. So now he's crying out to God, right? And then he immediately pivots. Remember, he's tossing and turning. He is wrestling within himself. So he's just talked to all my, I'm just overwhelmed. And he says in verse 8, let's read it. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. Talk to yourself now. In the daytime and in the night, his song shall be with me and my prayer. Yes? Woo! You got to remind yourself. Self, God is good. And all the time, God is good. And all the time, God is good. And all the time, you got to encourage yourself. You got to remind yourself, hey, self, your soul look back and know how it got over. You still here. You still standing. You still breathing. Let the devil hear that. Man. I threw all this stuff on Job. He still won't curse God. He's still good with God. I got his wife. Now, you know, a wife is very influential. If your wife says, oh, let it go, dear, you feel it may be okay to let it go. I've been fighting this fight. Your wife says, no, you can do it, dear. You get a little bit more spine. She said, just curse God and die. He said, nah, I'm not going there. The devil hates that. He thinks, I got you. This is what you care about. If I take that away, I got you. And he and David had taken away from him the thing that he cared the most about, and he almost got God. But he encouraged himself. Hallelujah. In the midst of the storm, he may not be singing praises and dancing like Paul and Silas, but he knew he had that. He had the memories of his God to encourage him. Amen. He goes on to say in verses 9 and 10, because he switches back. You know, the struggle is real. Somebody say the struggle is real. He just said these great things, right? Mm-hmm. Verse 9, he says, I will say unto God my rock. Now, it sounds like you're about to get a compliment. He is my rock. That ain't changing. However, this is what I'm going to say to my God, my rock. Why have you forgotten me? Woo, this is how it feels. Why have you, anybody ever felt that way? Why have you forgotten me? I know you love me and my circumstances don't match that. It'll match when you get on the other side though. You're going to understand why you went through what you went through. But in the meantime, you got to go through. And while you're going through, you're going to feel something. And sometimes that something ain't good, so you may just have to resort to just simply encouraging yourself. Why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? This is not him beating up on himself. To be internally consistent, he's saying, God, why have you forgotten me? Why do I have to go through this mourning? You are my God. That is my enemy. Now, what's supposed to happen is enemy defeated, God victorious. I'm okay. What's wrong with this equation is what he's saying. Are you learning something?
Amen.
I hope so. Why do I have to go through this? You've said it before. I've said it before. Why? Why? I say it more often than you know. Why? I don't rest on it though. And while I may say it more than you know, I don't say it that often. Because as you grow, the thing you say less often is why. You may just say how. You might say when. And the more mature you get, the less you say any of that. You just say I'm ready. You just say yes. You just say I know you as long as you're in it. It's all right. The more, but you got to go through some stuff to get that. That ain't free. You can't curse your mountains because you got to be a mountain climber. You got to be a Sherpa. You're going to have to help somebody else. Get up. And you can't do no newspaper clipping Christianity and clip something from the Bible and it's out of context and that's supposed to work. No. Just imagining you at 12, 15,000 square feet, feet elevation ain't the same as being there. The air is thinner. There's fewer oxygen molecules. Trust me. We've talked about this. God created the earth so beautiful. He put the atmosphere for us down here. All the oxygen stays down here where he put us. Ain't that something? And where he didn't put us, there's not as much oxygen. But, of course, we want to explore. We want to fly. So we have to have pressurized cabins in the airplane. We're pretty smart. We're not as smart as God. But we know how to go to where we weren't designed to be. That's pretty cool, huh? We just figured out how God did it. God put all the oxygen down here on this layer of the atmosphere, so we put all the oxygen pressurized into the airplane to create the miracle that God created. And if that gets ruptured, then we have oxygen mass so we can create the miracle that God created. Come on, it's beautiful stuff. Come on now. Science is even more beautiful when you save. It's not worse. It's better. You just get a little bit of how God, you did it like that. You don't come to the conclusion, man did it. We ain't that smart. No, we, it's like Houdini showing you his tricks. That's how you did it. Ooh, a saved scientist can be a powerful force for good. They can also try to mess people up and make man think like he's God. Powerful. Hallelujah. So finally, he's just, I got to go through this. What are we doing? Tossing and turning. We're wrestling, right? So he pivots back to the chorus. He finishes with the chorus. It'll look exactly like verse 5 with one small, minute detail change. Let's read it. Let's read 10 first because he ain't finished being all upset. As with a sword in my bones. Keep reading.
My enemies reproach me. Mm-hmm. While they say daily unto me,
where is my God? Doesn't that sound similar? Similar to what he said before, right? It's leading up. That's the pre-chorus. Hallelujah. You like that? The song, the music people, you like that? That's the pre-chorus. And then he gets to the chorus and he says, it'll look just like verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Keep reading.
Why art thou disquieted within me?
Mm-hmm. Now, it's old English gobbledygook, so it doesn't make total sense. Well, here's the key: the first time he said it, he's saying, you know what? I'm gonna get there, and I'm gonna be there to experience the saving power of your presence. All he did is describe the same scenario, but from his perspective, I am going to show my countenance. The first word translated countenance in verse 5 didn't mean countenance. It means face, technically, in the Hebrew, but it also translates it to your presence. They just use the word face, and it could mean your face, but it could mean your presence. It meant his presence in the tabernacle. This time, he actually ain't saying my presence. He's saying actually my countenance, my attitude. Man, I'm going to get to praise God. I know I'm going to get there. I'm going to get to praise God. I'm going to be dancing. I'm going to be shouting. I'm going to be singing. I'm going to be smiling. I know I'm going to get there. The first time he said it, he emphasized God. The last time he said it, he emphasized himself. Woo! When my soul look back and know how it got over, it's going to be me that's over there. Ain't going to be no clone of me. It's not going to be a shadow of me. It's going to be me. I'm going to have reason to smile.
Amen.
So the same one that's feeling this pain is going to have a joy in his heart. He's just reminding himself, guess what? God's going to be there, and the saving power of his presence is going to be there, and you're going to be smiling ear to ear. Self, I know it's hard. Self, I know it hurts. Self, I know it's lonely. Self, I know your enemies seem to have the upper hand, but self, just hang on in there. Self, hang on in there. Self, sometimes the blessing is right under your nose. Sometimes it was there all along. And in our case, because we have the Holy Ghost, guess what? When we're thinking all desperate and in the midnight, the solution is right there all along. David, it was distant. Oh, no. For us, it's right there. But you still will find yourself filled with the Holy Ghost, having to encourage yourself. So just so to be clear, if you look at Psalm 43, just so you know, I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. I'm not making this stuff up. You know, I don't do that. If you look at verse 3 through 5, he says, he's talking about the same thing in another psalm. He says, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. It's kind of like a lamp unto my feet and light unto my pathway. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill. Same expectation, same hope. And to thy tabernacles. There's nothing's changed here. Then will I go unto the altar of God. Understand? See, this is, he wasn't talking about yet praising, like I'm praising him now. That makes him sound so idealized, makes him sound like that's what I ought to do, makes him sound like I'm terrible if I can't do that in all of my midnight hours. Not all of them will be the same. Unto my God, my exceeding joy, yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God, my Lord. He's talking about an expectation of a future event. He's not trying to tell you I can praise him in the midst of my troubles. That's not what he's trying to tell you. And then he says, what? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him. I will again praise him in the future, who is the health of my countenance and my God. This could have been one psalm. They designed it. They showed it. I don't know if David really wrote it as two. I don't know if he did. I just know these divisions, which you know are artificial for our benefit. I don't know if that was two, but maybe it was. Amen? Amen. So what have we learned today? We learned that our problems are real. Don't let no holified, crazy, holy rolling, you know, person tell you that your problems aren't real. Ain't no point, ain't no testimony in cancer healing if the cancer wasn't real.
That's right.
We're not talking about no charlatan up on some stage faking somebody being ill or crippled just so that they can get money from you. Your problems are real. You can use a fake God, a little g God, to solve problems that aren't real. You need a big G God, a Yahweh God, the Almighty God, to take care of problems that are real. And sometimes you just got to, what, encourage yourself and hope for the future. And your evidence that you got in your hand is your past, because you're still breathing. You're still here. God's still real. You may be down, but you're not out. We learned that, didn't we? And finally, in the storms of life, belonging to God does not mean you will never get wet. It means you will prevail.